Christ. And as we think about tonight's lesson, if you have your Bibles, and if you don't have one, to find one, and be turning to Hebrews chapter 12 will be the main text that we're going to look at tonight as we think about serving Christ effectively through faithfulness. I believe faithfulness is the key if we're going to serve Christ effectively. And if you would, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, where we read, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." For a moment this morning, I want us to think about living an effective life for Jesus Christ. I believe it's possible for someone to live a life that is non-effective. Someone who just goes through the motions. And tonight I want us to think about an effective Christian life. And when we look at this text, I believe that the beginning of it, the emphasis, is this cloud of witnesses. And for an analogy, allow me to draw your attention to a day that maybe you woke up one morning and you looked out the window, or you were driving and there was this big fog. A fog maybe that you couldn't see very far in front of you. I've heard it defined as a fog as I was growing up, that a fog is a cloud that comes and sits on the earth. And I think when you think about that, it's this cloud and it overwhelms you and it engulfs you. And when we look at this text, what is being said by the author is this cloud of witnesses that were discussed and talked about in the prior chapter. The many examples that we have, the examples of faithful men and women who served the living God. We see by faith they served God. We see by faith in God they became our example. And I believe as we draw from this text tonight, we can see by our faith we can become examples for God as well. And as we think about our lives, I think it's important just to reflect on a moment of some of those great Bible examples. We find in chapter 11, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, and Esau, Joseph, Moses, and remember the army at Jericho, and Rahab. And remember in Hebrews chapter 11, if you look with me at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, it says an interesting phrase here in the beginning of this verse, and it says, "And what more shall I say?" Okay, he already emphasized all these great Bible examples, and then he goes on, "For the time would fail me to tell." What he is saying is that if he went on and on and on, there would not be enough time to discuss all the examples. And he goes on and he lists the sacrifice and the dedication and the courage of the faithful examples that we have in the Bible that are laid out. This cloud that engulfs us as we think about it being an encouragement to us and as we look at this cloud of witnesses. And I believe when we go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we also see that this is very personal. As we look to the past, this text looks to the present as it looks at us and our life. We have a cloud of witnesses, and we, as we look at our life, we were created with a purpose. As he outlines this race, as the author says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." That implies that there is a great purpose, that there is a great challenge. As we look at this, a great obstacle, as we look at this race course, as you look at a racetrack, that is set before each Christian. And as we look at this, the Christian life in this sense is the race. This race is not a physical race, but it is a spiritual race. It's a race like none that anybody would find on track meets, or you might turn on the race cars and you see the cars zooming around, though we can find some principles in this. But it doesn't really relate to that because it's spiritual. And as we look at this, this is the Christian life. But in essence, as we look at races, one could draw upon the emphasis that it is a marathon. It is not a short burst of race that's just for a short distance, but it is the distance of our life. And as we think about this race, what are we running for? Well, look with me in Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we find Paul drawing on this idea of our life created with a purpose. In verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship," as He is pertaining to God, God's workmanship. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As we draw on this race that is set before us, as a Christian, we live a life for good works. If you look with me at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let our light so shine." You might recall in Matthew 5 verse 16, "Let our light so shine before men that we may glorify our Father in heaven," so that men can see our good works. As we draw on that text, as we think about good works, it's not just good works in themselves, but with the purpose of glorifying our Father in heaven. And as we think about our lives in this race, as we do this, our lives imitate Jesus Christ. As we think about our lives and as we become Christ-like and we grow into have the mind of Christ, we become giving. We become giving as we think about our time and as we think about our talents and as we think about our treasures and as we think about others. It's not just about us, but it comes from a deep sense of gratitude for what God has done for us on the cross. And as we look to Hebrews, going back to Hebrews and staying in this book, you will see in Hebrews chapter 11, in chapter 10, starting in verse 23, As the Hebrews author is talking about, let us hold fast as we think about our faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I want to draw on this passage for a minute because when we think about a race, it's usually isolated to the winner's circle is what matters. But this race that's set before us is a race that we become concerned about others as well. You find in verse 24, it says, let us consider one another. And this is in a text that's emphasizing the importance of the church family. The emphasizing of the body coming together to worship God. And as you look at verse 19, having the boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we think about coming together to worship God and to build each other up for good works, to glorify God, and to make sure that we're all encouraging each other to do the same. This race is not an isolated, I want to be number one. But it is about giving God the glory and lifting up others as we go into this race and encouraging everyone to participate in the race that God has set before us in the Christian life. When we think about all these examples that we have, they come from an array of backgrounds. And they all ran this race. And as we think about our lives, we have been created for a purpose, this race that is set before us. But as with any race, and as with especially the race that we call the Christian life, as we look at the challenges that God will help us overcome in this race, but there are challenges. A race is not simple, even in the physical sense. It takes great training. But usually one will train and train and train, and eventually the race will come, and then the race will end, and either they will continue to train to run another race another day, or maybe they'll hang their cleats up and call it over. But with the Christian, our race is not over until our life is over. We continue this race, and the challenges are day in and day out. We don't just say, hey, one day I'm not going to run the race today. I'm going to bow out, or I'm going to take a vacation from the race. But we see there are challenges in the race. And notice in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we see the author making mention of some of these challenges. When he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And when we think about a race, the last thing in the physical sense you would want is a lot of extra weight on you if you're wanting to win. Sin is that weight. It will make you ineffective. If Christ is in our lives, we are victorious as we live this life, living it for Jesus Christ. And if Satan can't get us to stop believing and following Jesus Christ, he's going to try to make us ineffective. And one way he can make us ineffective is by weighting our lives down with things that are not important, and ultimately weighting our lives down with sin. And as we think about our lives and as we think about this race, in this book we find some encouragement because we don't run this race alone. And most importantly, when we draw on texts like Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we see that God is with us. We see that God will never leave us nor forsake us, that God is running this race with us. And as we already looked at the passage, that we need to encourage each other, we are running this race together. As the body of Christ and as the family and brothers and sisters and the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to encourage each other. And as we think about the examples that were laid out in the cloud of witnesses, it's important to note that those women and men were not perfect in their race. Many of them had very big shortcomings at times. But it's important to realize as we look back at those men and women that it was through their faithfulness in God that they overcame those things and found grace and mercy in the eyes of God. And as we think about their lives, they became effective again because of their faithfulness to God, their obedience to God. And as we think about our emphasis in our life today, it should be a spiritual. Most people run a physical race to be seen. You know, you see the little Indiana 5 cars, you see they want to be seen. They want the advertisements. They want to be in the winner's circle. They want all the glory. They want all the pomp and circumstance that comes with winning. But the spiritual race often goes, and it is so, so not like the Olympics. People don't receive the crowns and the glory in this life. And when we think about this life and the emphasis of this race and the challenges, they are spiritual. When we draw on passages such as in Ephesians chapter 6, if you would turn with me in Ephesians chapter 6, and we read about what Paul is talking about, the spiritualness of the fight. When he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "My brethren, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Well, if you went to go talk to an athlete, they would be saying, "Well, I do this, I do that to gain more strength and endurance." The Christian looks to God for strength, to the Word for strength. And as we think about verse 12, it really emphasizes what Paul is talking about when he talks about the spiritualness of our fight. When he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded." And he goes on and he lists this spiritual armor. But the emphasis here in verse 12, and you read this verse, this is nothing like a physical race. This is not drink your Gatorade and get up in the morning and run a little bit and buy the right tennis shoes and things like that. This is not a physical race. This is a spiritual race. Yes, I do believe there are some overlappings to a physical and a spiritual race. We need discipline. We need to have the training and the discipline to study God's Word and to day in and day out be faithful to God. But we must understand that this is a spiritual race. And that without Jesus Christ, we cannot even qualify to run the race. We cannot even begin to be successful at running the race without Jesus. And when you go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and you start looking at verse 2, it becomes very apparent that Jesus is the qualifier and the sustainer of the one who is running the race. In verse 2 it says, looking unto Jesus. You know, when you think about the Christian life that you are living, the focus point is Jesus Christ. And every day that we live, it is for the Lord Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and our Savior and our Lord of Lords. And as we look at this verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The revelation, John wrote that Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the all of it. He is it. And as we think about our lives, we need Christ. We must live a Christ-centered life. You remember when I mentioned the race that is set before us, that we should run it with a gratitude spirit? This gratitude comes when we understand what Christ did for us on the cross. And when we understand that all the things that Jesus taught in this life and all the things that the prophets taught and all the things that we read in the Bible were confirmed when Jesus Christ was resurrected. And then we will be excited to look to the coming as we think about Jesus Christ's return to this world. This race that is set before us is a temporary race. In that sense, it's very physical because time is limited in our lives within the realm of the physical. And we only have so much time to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to live for Him today. And I often think about, when I read Hebrews, what a dramatic book. What a life-changing book it was to the early church. To us today, we have to really step back and realize what a life-changing book it was. Because when we look at our lives, we don't really connect to what it's like to sacrifice animals on a daily in our lives. And we look at what Christ did. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, the Hebrews author says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." Jesus Christ is the qualifier for running this race. Without Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the blood that He spilled on the cross, there would be no race. There would be no purpose to run this race, and no purpose in eternity. But because we go down to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus became the sacrifice. Jesus became the qualifying entrance, the door, as He says it, that He is the way for one qualifying to run this race. And as we look to His life, He is the only one that can qualify us to run this race. And as we think about this race that is set before us, Paul was an individual that went through a great, great, great challenges in his life. And he went and he suffered when he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And when he started his ministry, he was persecuted severely. And at the end of his life, he talks about running this race. And for a moment, I want us to think about the future for a moment. Completing our race. Tonight, if you were called home, would you have completed a good race? When you think about Apostle Paul, he ran with endurance. As we think about in passages such as 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would turn there with me real quick as we think about Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, as we go down into verse 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing." That's us. Paul is a great example, one of those examples of fighting that good faith. He knew where he was at in his race. Where are we at in our race? Are we one of the people that are on the sidelines? Or are we actually in the race? Are we effectively running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we living our lives, as we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, are we living our lives for our Savior Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher? Are we running this race with endurance, as verse 1 tells us? Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. One that is effectively, as we think about living for Jesus Christ, are we effective? And are we living our life in a way that will bring glory and honor to our Lord? You know, when I think about my life, there are so many stories that come to my mind. There are so many examples that in my life, of people who have left legacies and have gone on in my life that I think of as fighting the good fight. And I want you just for a moment to think about your life. To think about if you were called out of this life today, if your life was taken from you, and you, what kind of legacy would you leave behind? Would you be a good example to those to come? Would you be a good example for those who are here today? I think as we answer those questions, we realize whether or not we are really running the race. And tonight, as we think about this cloud of witnesses, their legacy continues on. And as we think about our lives and how God has challenged us to run this race, and with all the challenges with it, He is with us. He wants us to run it together. And He wants us to run it faithfully. And as we think about our focus is on Jesus Christ, and God wants us to complete the race. As Paul was determined, he was going to complete the race. And tonight, some people maybe are here tonight who have not even responded to the calling of the gospel, to the calling of Jesus Christ, to the good news that we read about that qualifies one to start this race. There may be some who are saying in their hearts that, you know, I'm out of the race so far. I'm ineffective. I'm a Christian by name only, but my life says otherwise.